Looking for an assist with your credit card, but you can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call. Get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring. Boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
This is Steve Aoki.
Here's Saul Tillamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring.
All right, we're doing it. We're live here. This is a big one. I feel like this is an episode that people are ready to shit on. People are ready to hate. You guys are the new Yankees. I don't know if you guys know that. One of the teams with the biggest offseason and kind of the highest expectations out of anyone around the league going into the 2024 season. But I'm here with Cody Snavely, representing the Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm wearing my Ogden Raptors hat. I'm not really a fan of the Dodgers, but it's the only Dodger gear I have. I wish I still had my Vero Beach Dodgers gear. I grew up in South Florida in Vero Beach, where the Dodgers used to have spring training back in the day.
Yeah.
That would be some fun gear to have, but every time I look online for it, it's like $200 for a hat. So not at the moment. Thanks for joining us at the beginning of the podcast here. Go ahead and plug whatever you got, if you got podcasts or social media, whatever you got going on, let the people know.
Yeah, first thing, you know, thanks for having me on. You know, it's good to kind of like, you know, grow the channels that I'm on and then kind of just talk, you know, talk shop, talk the Dodgers, you know, and you hit it right on the head. They are pretty much the talk of baseball right now. All eyes are on the Dodgers. But myself, I am a lead contributor for DodgersBeat.com. Pretty much just posting daily news website for the Dodgers. I'm on there. I usually post an article every day. So if you look up on social media at DodgersBeat, you'll find me there. I'm also one of the co-hosts of the Bleed Los podcast. We've actually had Rob Rafford from this show on about once or twice, and we have a good relationship with everybody over there. So it's good to kind of collaborate here yet again for, you know, the 2024 season. It's coming fast, you know, as we're recording this, you know, opening day is technically starting early morning for some people on the West Coast. And if you want to find out me personally, at SnavelyCody6 on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. But I'm really excited to talk shop and talk about the baseball and talk about the Dodgers.
Yeah, man. And I mean, we'll get right into it. They are over in Seoul for the Seoul series with the Padres, who are now, I think, with the Dylan Cease trade, might be a thorn in your guys' side. They got a pretty good rotation over there. And I don't know. The Dodgers had the biggest offseason, clearly, with the signing of Shohei Ohtani. That's the talk of the baseball world at this point. Obviously, going into this season, he's not going to be pitching, but still an offensive threat every time he comes up to the plate, unless it's against anyone from the Czech Republic, I guess. But, yeah, you guys are, I think, the team that everyone kind of is looking for the downfall. Everyone's making the same jokes as every other year with – You know, you can't buy a championship, which is true. But I mean, just offensive wise, looking through their roster at this point is like a video game, it feels like. And yeah, of course, when Ohtani signed and then did the deferrals to, you know, whatever fucking year he decided to push that down the road just so you guys could bring in more talent. Everyone's like, I want to hate it, but it's Shohei Ohtani. So then you guys go out and get Yamamoto. But yeah, I mean, just give me a general. There's not much I can ask about what more you could have done in the offseason. So I guess just give me a general rundown of how you're feeling going into tomorrow's opener.
Yeah, honestly, as a Dodgers fan, you have to be extremely happy. You know, after the disappointment from back-to-back seasons of more than 100 wins, 111 wins 2 years ago, and you lose to the San Diego Padres in 4 games, and then you lose to the Arizona Diamondbacks in 3 games. Each of those stung pretty bad for Dodger fans. You know, it kind of last year, it was more of kind of like I was expecting it a little bit. You know, the Dodgers, as good as they've been, it's been a lot more postseason disappointment than it has been success. And yes, they do have, you know, a World Series victory in 2020, but even that victory isn't really held to the same standard as the other World Series winners in the pretty past couple of years. So the Dodgers are just the model of success, and they kind of had a plan this offseason. You know, Shohei Ohtani was somebody that was on their mind probably since he was in high school. He was rumored to be one of the guys that they had their eye on when he was posted, or when he came over to the U.S. the first time around in 2017. The Dodgers were right there with them, but unfortunately, we didn't have the ability to have the DH in the National League, so he went to the other Southern California team in the Angels. And I think the Dodgers clearly were waiting for this offseason particularly, because they've always had the financial might to kind of beat anybody and outbid anybody they want, but they've kind of had some restraint for the past couple of years. You know, we all saw the reports in 2019 where they could have offered Harper a shit ton of money for AAV wise, where they were getting to like the $45 million per year. They passed on that. You know, they let Trey Turner walk. They let Corey Seager walk. They let Justin Turner leave. A lot of guys, you know, kind of left, and it's a new era of Dodgers baseball. You get into this offseason, and they're bringing in a lot of new faces. You know, they solved the pitching problems that gave them issues last year, the highest ERA they've had in almost, I believe, 10 years at around 4.26 ERA for their starters, which is the worst they've had. And they ended up signing the best free agent pitcher in Yamamoto. And then they traded for the best arm that was available on the market in Tyler Glasnow. And then on the offensive side, obviously you got Ohtani, but then an under the radar thing, they got Teoscar Hernandez, who ended up getting a 1-year deal and is going to be a lefty masher. And, you know, the Giants just signed Blake Snell, and that fits perfectly with what they brought T.O. in for. So I'm really excited for this season. It's the most excited I would say I've been since probably the vibes are similar to that 2019-2020 offseason where they traded for Mookie Betts, and the same goal is to win the World Series, and anything short of that for the Dodgers is a failure. You know, even if they appear in the World Series and they don't win, it would be a failure for them and the organization. So that's why all eyes are on us this year.
For sure. Yeah. I think, like you said, anything less than a World Series championship is going to get you guys some flack. I mean, even if you do win, you're going to get it anyway from people online being like, well, they bought all those. They should win the world. It's like, well, yeah, then they did. One of my favorite, not that I'm a Dodgers defender here, but I am a pretty neutral baseball fan. I mean, if I'm rooting for anyone, like I've said, I'm rooting for the Mariners just because I'm out here in Seattle. So you guys got Teoscar. I'm hoping he has a good year. He was fun to watch when he wasn't striking out up here. But it's one of those things that cracks me up when everyone says, when they talk about the 2020 championship and they talk about the, oh, it's the Mickey Mouse championship or whatever, it's not real. And I'm like, you guys know that your teams were also in the running to win that, right?
Yeah.
And you guys didn't win. Like, just because the Dodgers won not a full season. It always cracks me up when there's always some weird coping mechanisms people have online. And I'm like, they won it. They won it by the rules. So, and also when it comes to like Shohei Ohtani deferring the contract and some of the other guys deferring money, everyone's getting mad at the Dodgers or Shohei or whoever it was, or getting upset. And I'm like, he played by the rules. You should be mad that that's allowed to happen. Not at the,
yeah.
Don't hate the player, hate the game, man. And yeah, I think, like you said, it's all championship aspirations, which I feel like it is every year for Los Angeles. But I think in the last week or so, that road got a little dicier with some of the competition in the West. You got a guy like Blake Snell who's back. You got Dylan Cease on kind of taking his role in San Diego, who also has a pretty potent lineup. So there's always – they're all Major League Baseball players, like I say to people. But it's like just because they have such a stacked lineup down in Los Angeles, it's like you're facing off against other very good Major Leaguers. So you still got to play the 162. But I'd say for everyone, it's for sure all eyes on the Dodgers this year. So they should be exciting to watch. But I'm super excited to watch Yamamoto. I don't know how everybody's feeling about that. I know he's had some spring starts that are like iffy, but who, like, I don't ever look into the spring stats, but yeah, he seems like a guy that is going to be electric, and the whole staff generally, but him and James Paxton, I think, are like, you have them on the opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to hype, but I think guys who are going to like really benefit the team. Like, I think no one is talking about Paxton because of how star-studded that lineup is. But
yeah, James Paxton honestly is an under the radar signing. You know, Kershaw is one of the guys that, you know, you haven't really heard much about, and that's just because of the surgery he had this offseason. The possibility of him not pitching at all this year is extremely high. They needed a left-handed starter, and Yamamoto, I agree with you. Spring starts are spring starts, especially for pitchers. They really don't mean anything. The big thing I looked at is that he was able to still miss bats. He had 14 strikeouts. His infield defense kind of failed him a little bit in one or two of those games. Yeah. And that's been the first major storyline for the Dodgers so far, is that, you know, that left side of the infield between third base and shortstop, which obviously they already made their first major shift from, moving Gavin Lux back to second. And, you know, super utility man Mookie Betts kind of playing all around the diamond for the Dodgers since he's been traded there. It's a special thing to watch with him. I think he can play the position extremely well. I'm excited for Yamamoto. I think he'll just be fine. This is a guy in Japan, 5-time All-Star, 4 no-hitters, 3-time Triple Crown winner, and you know, two-time Cy Young, and had an ERA at 1.82 in just under 1,000 innings. This guy's elite. He got $325 million for a reason. The highest for a pitcher in MLB history, and he hasn't even thrown a pitch in baseball in the regular season yet. So I think the Dodgers are confident, and I have full trust in whatever the Dodgers brass are doing, because, you know, they've shown it.
Yeah, and I think I want to go back to the defense thing. I think it's pretty incredible if you get in a lineup and you're like, let's just slot Mookie in at second. Oh, let's just put him in a shortstop full time. Like, if you guys have athletes on your team like that, it's clearly something special. But yeah, I think the infield, I wonder, like, if you're Dave Roberts, it's like, I saw a video of him watching whoever it was, Gavin Lux, I think, or I might not have been him, but just like getting the yips or throwing it, or someone not calling the ball on the pop up and just looking like, here we go again. Like,
yeah,
are we gonna have such a good team and then get embarrassed or something like that? But I think Dave Roberts is a great guy to have running the ship there. But I mean, at a certain point, if you guys don't win a championship, it's like, I don't know, it feels like Aaron Boone territory, where it's like, I don't necessarily think it's all on him, but I wonder, from an upper management standpoint, what they look at and what they see when it comes to something like that. I don't know if you have any thoughts on managerial stuff like that, but
yeah, I think Dave Roberts, you know, he has such a good relationship with the front office, and it's similar to the Yankees. You know, Aaron Boone and the Yankees front office have such a tight relationship that it's kind of like a two-way ship. If one goes, they're both going. And for the Yankees, they also have, you know, a lot of pressure on them missing the playoffs last year. They're hoping to get back, especially for everything they've done this offseason too. Dave Roberts is in a little bit uncharted territory as well, because the Dodgers need to show up in the postseason. We all know they're going to do well in the regular season. I honestly, you can honestly put them in for 100 wins already off the boat. And Dave Roberts just needs to show it in October. And last year, you know, he did his job right. It was the starting pitching that ended up ultimately failing them. You know, the starting pitching ERA in October was over 64, which is terrible. And, you know, he pressed the right buttons for the bullpen and he put up a good lineup. So it doesn't always fall on the manager. Some things do. I'm one of those guys that don't think the manager is that big of an aspect in terms of the game. But I agree with you. At some point, something or one or the other has to change, especially when you have as high expectations as the Dodgers. So I would actually agree saying that he is probably on the hot seat if they don't get to the World Series or at least minimum NLCS appearance. Then you would have to think about changing the ship. But I think he's a really good guy. You know, I've gotten to talk to him in the clubhouse as well. He really is a player's first manager. That clubhouse in LA is one of the most tight-knit groups. And that's why they're able to bring in new faces almost every single year. And it's a seamless transition. And they have the same goal in mind. Other teams we've seen, you know, you mentioned money camp, like win in baseball. We've seen the Mets spend big money and it hasn't worked out. We've seen the Padres spend a lot of money and trade for some players and it hasn't worked out every single season because there's a lot of egos to manage. And I think Dave Roberts does a fantastic job. Honestly, he's getting very close to that Tommy Lasorda territory in terms of Dodgers managers, where he has like the best winning percentage of any active manager right now. And he is on a team right now where outlook for 10 years, the next 10 years for the Dodgers looks like it's pretty much going to be the same. You know, they have still one of the top ranked farm systems. They have a lot of these guys under contract and they have unlimited amounts of money. I don't think any type of dollar amount, it will scare them, especially in these next few years.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, he's a player's first manager and he's someone that I've always liked. It's just, I know baseball and I know management. It's good that they are on the same page there, but I mean, after, you know, it's just always something you have to think about when it's like you don't win a, I mean, they did win a championship. So, but when you get to the same kind of level of playoffs with that roster and that payroll, especially, and you're not bringing home rings, it's always something to keep in mind. But I mean, personally, I think he's a great fit there. And like you said, when it comes to egos and kind of having superstars like that, that's much more of a task than people think. It's more than baseball at that point, and I think he does a great job. But I'm excited to watch them this season. With some of these interviews that we've done, it's like I gotta like kind of try to pull it out of someone or really like find a way to, you know, kind of draw out what's to come for this team. But I mean, for the best reasons, this one is like, I feel like gonna be one of the shorter ones because it's like everyone already, I think, is like eyes on the Dodgers. They are, I mean, like you said, not even a playoff run. If they don't win a World Series, it's a failure. Like as a season, which is, I mean, that's where you want to be going in as a fan. Like you said, it's like every organization, every fan of every organization wishes this is what was going on with them. But yeah, man, this is kind of how we wrap it up with every episode here. But Cody Snavely, I want you to state your case. I don't think this will be too hard, but I want you to state your case for the 2024 Los Angeles Dodgers.
All right. Yeah. I mean, honestly, looking at it, I got three really good reasons. And leading off with it, the first reason, just look at the top three of the Dodgers order. You know, you got MVP after MVP after MVP. Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Shohei Ohtani, whatever order you want to put them in. That is historically one of the best top three lineups in all of baseball in the entire history. I mean, just looking at their OPSs from, you know, from the order that they've been batting in, Betts leading off has a 915 career OPS. Ohtani has a 1.03 OPS in the two hole, and Freeman has a 906 OPS in the three hole as well. So this is one of the best trios you can ask for. I mean, I know the Dodgers were going all in for Ohtani, and then the thought kind of having him on the team with the other star talents they have, it's going back to what you said at the beginning. It's a video game type of lineup. Honestly, I booted up MLB The Show 24 the other day, and I was like, man, I thought I just built this roster like 3 years ago, and I just put them on the team. It is a cheat code lineup, and they spent a lot of money to bring that lineup together, $700 million. I know it's deferred, but it's still 700 big ones that they still have to pay this guy. And he's not even back as a pitcher yet. And this season, he can focus strictly on offense. And he could put up historic numbers alone just as a DH. I mean, some guys are even penciling him in to potentially win an MVP as a DH, which has never been done before. So that right off there is what's going to get the Dodgers going. Last year, the Atlanta Braves had the best offense in baseball, but the Dodgers in their retool year with their offense, they were ranked number two with 906 runs scored. So adding Ohtani, adding Teoscar Hernandez, getting Will Smith and Max Muncy in a groove, and then put them with the top trio that I just mentioned, that's just straight up right there of very good reason that can go up against anybody in baseball. The second reason is the biggest thing they really had to work on this entire winter. And I mentioned the starting pitching ERA in the regular season last year was the worst in 10 years. And then in the playoffs, it was just atrocious. You know, we saw Kershaw pretty much get demolished in a third of an inning. Bobby Miller couldn't get it done. And then Lance Lynn probably just kicked off this entire offseason by giving up like back-to-back home runs against the Diamondbacks in the NLDS. And that was the starting pitching. They got Tyler Glasnow, who's a guy that I was extremely high on. I'm so glad they got him and extended him. This is a guy, I mean, Red Sox fans that usually listen to this program, you know, you know, this guy is nasty. He's got the stuff. And the biggest question with him is health. If he's healthy, he can be a Cy Young caliber pitcher. Hey, they didn't stop there. They got the best pitcher on the free agent market in Yamamoto, who I believe will translate to the major leagues just fine. Don't look at the spring train. Don't look too much into the spring training stats. Look into how he adjusts. This next start in Korea is going to be a big one. But fixing the rotation was priority number one for them. You know, this is the first time in a while that you don't really have to think about Clayton Kershaw on this team anymore. I get that they re-signed him for, you know, legacy reasons. But if he doesn't make a pitch this year, you know, years prior, that would be a disastrous, you know, outcome for the Dodgers. Now it's not. And to even go on with the depth in the starting rotation, you got Bobby Miller, Walker Buehler's coming back, James Paxton can hold it down in the back end, and Gavin Stone, who was just announced as the fifth starter, looks really good. It looks like he's made a lot of strides to improving off of last year's, you know, call up. He had an ERA over 9. Hopefully he gets going this year as well. And then the last reason is just what we've been talking about. It's the expectations. Anything short of a World Series victory is a failure for this team. And not many teams, I would say no other team will be able to say that. Even Yankees fans, I get they have their philosophy saying, all right, every year is our year. We have to win the World Series this year. But you mentioned it. The Dodgers are kind of like the new Yankees right now. They are the West Coast Yankees. What they need to do is win it all. And if they don't, this organization views it as a failure. Our owner, Mark Walter, when he met Shohei Ohtani, he said, hey, my past 10 years of owning this team, I view it as a failure because we only won one World Series. And I'm bringing you in to help us win multiple World Series. So this is where it kind of starts. This is where the Shohei era begins. And if you're a Dodgers fan, you have to be extremely excited for this 2024 season.
Absolutely. Well said. And, you know, to cap it off, it's like having Kershaw on the back burner where it's like, if this is a year where we don't even see Kershaw, it's not, you don't even have to worry about it. And that's not even saying that Kershaw is bad. Like a lot of people are like, oh, he's old and washed. And it's like, if you look at his stats, he's still an elite pitcher, which is wild. And so then you have that, and then you have also, you know, guys like Walker Buehler, like you said, coming back and some other guys that are just sitting in the wings waiting. It's, you know, it's yours to lose this year. And I think, like you said, you are the only team going into this season where it's World Series or bust pretty much. You know, as much as the Yankees like to convince themselves that, it's like, that's not true at all. They got a lot going on, but it's, you know, they would like to see a playoff run, but you guys, it genuinely is, I think, for everyone watching. You better win the World Series or we're going to come at you even harder. yeah, man, this is a good one. And, you know, I think you guys are the favorite, you know, for the West and then hopefully for the playoffs as well. But we'll check back in with you about halfway through the season here. I do think you're going to have some tight series against, you know, the Padres and the Giants this year. But that's a lot of pitching stuff. I think there's going to be some great battles. I love watching a good pitching matchup, so I'm going to be tuning into a lot of those. And then, you know, I'm over here on the West Coast, so, you know, hopefully it's not – I don't think the games are too early for the next 2 days, but I definitely want to be watching those. So I'm excited to get the season started, and I'm glad that you guys are on the docket right now. But, Cody, thanks for joining us, man. And one more time, go ahead and plug your –
your stuff here in case people are still trying to find you.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on again. You know, I always love talking Dodgers baseball and just baseball in general. But, you know, if you want to hear more from myself and the others that are on our channel, the Bleed Loose Podcast, you know, we're trying to do at least 3 episodes a week, lives talking to Dodger fans. And then if you want to read a lot of my work on DodgersBeat.com, I'm pretty much posting daily articles there as well. But this is a great series. I've been listening to it, kind of hearing everybody's takes on why they, you know, have a chance. And I think for the Dodgers, this is probably, you know, all eyes are on us. And I'm looking forward to this season, man.
Absolutely, man. Looking forward to the season, and great time to be a Dodgers fan. So everyone out there, if you're going to be excited, be fucking excited, because if you've been listening to this series, you know that it ebbs and it flows, and it's up and down throughout a organization's history. So this is the time to be excited. So good luck to you this season, and we'll catch up with you about halfway through.
All right. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Peace out, man.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.